and look up there at me and smile real big.
There's
a lot worse places we could be than here.
Hey.
I can tell you how good I am. And I got a friend of mine here that's known me my whole life, and I've known him his whole life more than anybody else in here. And he could tell you that I'm not so good, and he'd be telling you right. But I'll tell you what made the difference. I'll tell you what made the difference for me one day. The blood of his son, Jesus. Come in, Bobby, and just cleanse me one day. Made me different, boy, and it helped me. I've enjoyed myself here this morning. About to have me a spell today. I really am. Appreciate Brother Kevin having us. And, boy, really respect him, love him dearly. And, boy, he got all the talent over there playing that music, and I can't play a radio and preach. Boy, I love the things that he stands for and blessing that he's been to us. Nathaniel says he's sharper than a broke briar. That's pretty sharp, ain't it? But I love Brother Sexton. Appreciate the church and all the prayers that you prayed for us and prayed for my wife. And my grandson got saved about 3 weeks ago. What about that? God still knows how to do that, don't he? And I do want you to remember Stephanie, and I appreciate all the things y'all have done for us over the last 10 years. It's hard to believe it's been nearly 10 years now since she's been facing this. She's got some other issues come up, and they're leaving after church today to go to Atlanta, so do remember them and prayer. Remember Stephanie. But I love this church, and I want you to know that. James chapter 4 this morning. I'll preach just for a little while. Good to see Brother Savage over there. Love him dearly. He always humbles my heart, tells me how low down I am. Makes me feel good about myself. I need that. I really do. I appreciate Delmer. I'll tell you this one time. We was talking about this a while ago, and I'll move quick. We was up there in Indiana at a camp meeting, and Delmer's the most serious fellow I've ever met in my life. Serious. And he's all business back here. I like people like that, don't you? It's all business about Jesus when they get back here. And I walked into the place, never been there before in my life, didn't know very many people there at all. And this lady met me at the door, and she said, "Are you Brother Jenkins?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." She said, "I need you to come with me." And I thought, "What's going on?" She said, "We've got you a robe back here. We're going to get you fitted for it."
Hallelujah!
And I really didn't know what to do. I thought I went to the wrong church, amen. And I said, "Ma'am," and by the time I said, "Ma'am," here somebody go, "Wait, wait, wait, wait." I looked at Demers having a spell. I said, "Don't ever listen to anything he says again about me." So I love Demers. We'll just move on from that, all right. I didn't wear the robe, but I wish Demers to put one on. I'd have took a picture of that just sure as the world. James chapter 4 this morning. I do desire your prayers. Love this scripture, and going to give you what God give me, and try to be simple this morning and be brief, and we'll do what we can for the glory of God. Verse number 7, you pray for us, James chapter 4, verse number 7. Very serious message today. Really thankful to hear the folks getting saved, but the work's not done. God still wants to save people. James chapter 4. Verse number 7, the King James Bible, which is the only Bible. Right. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Right. That goes right along with Sunday school, right? Draw nigh to God. I'm glad there's a place we can go. He will draw nigh to you. So when you get there, he'll be there too. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. And God, we thank you for the many blessings of life. And Lord, it's One more time, God. It comes down time for preaching one more time this side of heaven. And God, we need your help this morning, Lord, knowing that there ain't nothing good in me. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here. I thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. I thank you, Lord, that I'm born again. Got my name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. God, I pray you just make the scriptures real to us this morning. God, that you just open up our hearts and, Lord, just fill us with your goodness. And, Lord, I pray that you just get in the midst of this place today and that the Spirit of God would begin to draw people to Himself. And, Lord, that folks would realize their need for a Savior before it's everlasting too late. Help us not to say or do anything that would offend. But, God, just be pleasing in your sight, knowing, God, that, Lord, the time is short. The day is late. And Lord, we need you more now than ever. I thank you, Lord. I just want you to know, God, that I'm so thankful for what you've done for me. Lord, what a blessing it is to be able to come before your presence. And God, just be thankful to be saved. I love you with all my heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Did you enjoy that choir singing this morning? Wasn't that wonderful? Just wanted you to know, boy, I'll tell you, that's good stuff. I'm going to preach this morning, if the Lord help me, out of the book of James here, and hope the Lord will help us. I want to preach out of verse number 9, very serious message, and I'll tell you, there's a lot of things in life that you can just take or leave, but if you want to go to heaven, I've found this to be true. There'll never be anybody go to heaven by accident. If you go to heaven, you're going to have to want to go there. And there ain't but one way to get there, and that's to ask the Lord to help you to get there. And the Bible said here, verse number 8 says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. Notice the group of people He was talking to here. Ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Notice this, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. And God put a thought on my heart about that. And I'll tell you, we live in a party crazed society. I mean, it's a 7-day-a-week party now from daylight to dark. And everybody wants a kuma matata and no problems. And everybody just upbeat all the time. Listen, I want to clarify something here. Listen, I want to live my life joyful. I am not going to go around Benny with my head stuck in the sand like I've been eating sawbars all day long. Listen, I believe that a man ought to enjoy his life. I mean, I want to be happy. You say, preacher, how can you be happy? The Bible said, happy is the man that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So, I love lighthearted stuff. I love being able to fellowship and laugh. There's nothing wrong with that. I believe we need that. The Bible said that a merry heart doth good like a medicine. So if you go around mad all the time and just drama and looking for trouble all the time, you're not going to be as happy as God wants you to be. So, but I thought about that. There's a time to be, you know, just joyful. But then there's a time to be serious. There's some things in this Bible that's real serious. You know, God's got a sense of humor. He does. But I'll tell you what He'll never do. He'll never carry it too far. And I got to thinking about over there when He told Sarah that time that she was going to have a child in her late years. And the Bible said Sarah laughed. Can you imagine him laughing at something God said? She didn't believe Him. And the Bible said, for fear, she said, I didn't laugh. God said, yeah, you did. You laughed. And she said, no. And then He said, yeah, you did. You did laugh. So God understands. And man, it wasn't, I mean, God didn't, He didn't just own her for that, but He wanted her to know that He knew. I thought about this, and I'll move on. You remember when the Philistines had the Ark of the Covenant?
Oh, yes.
This is funny. I don't care who you are.
That's right.
Now, Israel was trying to use God like a lucky charm.
Yep.
That's a bad mistake.
Won't happen.
No, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He don't have to back up. He don't have to do that for nobody. But they got a hold of the Ark of the Covenant. Yes, they had. And they started praising their god Dagon. I love this. So they went in there the next morning, and old Dagon was laying on his back. How'd that happen? Now I want you to notice this. They got a hold of him and propped him up and put him back in his place. You know one thing I've never had to do about my God?
Yes, preacher.
I've never had to prop him up. I've never seen him fall. I've never had to set him back. No, sir. Man, he's in heaven. I want you to know something this morning. He's very much in authority. And he's as strong as he's ever been. So they propped old Dagon back up. Well, the next morning, God said, okay, see what you can do with this. In Jamestown terms, get you some.
Praise God.
They went in there the next morning, and old Dagon laying there with a broken neck, and his hands, the palm of his hands broke off. Hey, he's still God.
Amen.
God's got a sense of humor. But it'll come out for his glory. But I want to preach this morning. Not a life in the matter. That's what I want to preach. If the Lord help me just for a few minutes. It's no life in the matter. Got that on my mind. Some things that's not funny. Some spiritual things that's not funny. Now God will use tears, and I believe this, not just natural, but God will use things to break through that stony heart and get down to the fountain of the soul. And that's when you can get serious with God. Amen. When you get down there where nobody else knows what's going on but you and God. I got to thinking about some of this stuff that's no life in matter. I want to think about this just for a minute. It's no life in matter when there is no answers. Have you ever come across something that you just didn't know what to do? And you could not find a solution for it. I mean, no matter who you ask or where you search or where you turn, there just wasn't no answers. Man, that's a miserable place to be when you don't have any answers for a problem. I mean, we like to boast ourselves in never having any problems and always being able to handle things. But I'm going to tell you something, buddy. Us as humans, hey, we face things from day to day that we do not know how to handle. Hey, and boy, it don't take God very long to get over my head. But I'm telling you something, buddy. There will come a time in your life that there won't be any answers to your questions. You can ask the preacher. You can ask the deacons. But there will come a time that you'll have to trust God. And I thought about John, the Revelator. Now I want to say this just for a minute. There never was, and I want to keep the scripture in context. There never was, Joe, a time that God made a search through heaven for a Savior. He said, behold, the Lamb of God which was slain for the foundation. It's always been about Jesus dying for your sin. I believe you can use types and shadows and see some things in this. Now, John saw some futuristic things that was coming, and it could get set in motion just any time now. I believe we're very close. And there was a book there with some seals on it, and nobody could come by and loosen it. And here's what the Bible said John done. He didn't have any answers. John was looking for some answers. And he said, I wept much. John got tore up because he didn't have any answers. But then the angel come by and said, John, weep not.
That's right.
And he told him about the lion. But that didn't move John much. But I want you to notice this about John. Man, this tore me up. And I've had me a spell over this. You notice, old John was a weeping and a crying looking for answers. And then the Bible said there in John, Revelation chapter 5, he said, I saw, he said, I looked and I saw in the midst of the throne, hey, the Lamb of God.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you something from that point on, Delmer. From the first time he saw the Lamb, he never got over it. You read the book of Revelations from chapter 5 on through. The Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb. Hey, he didn't have any answers till he saw the Lamb. Hey, I'm telling you, man, his heart was broke. He was weeping on the inside. Man, that sounds a whole lot like me. Hey, broke down on the inside. No hope on the outside looking in. But boy, when my heart got a vision of the Lamb, everything began to change. Whoa. Whoa. When there is no answers. John never took his eyes off the Lamb. I'm going to tell you something this morning. There is and was and never shall be any other way, spiritually speaking, for a man to have peace on the inside. But I thought about this. No life in matter. Watching others in agony. Have you ever seen anybody in life over something that's not funny?
Yeah. Right.
Now, I don't like turkey hunting. I love turkey hunting. Carnally speaking, I'd rather do that as anything. Now, if the Lord told me to quit it, I'd quit it today, never go back.
Sure.
I hope I've got enough God in me to do that. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this really happened to me. 7 or 8 years ago, I was out there in a place. Day before, I saw 30 turkeys in this place and killed one. So you know what I knew? I'll tell you where you'll never kill a turkey at, where there ain't one at. So you know what I done the next morning? I went right back to the same spot. Me and my buddy and my son-in-law, they went across the river, and I was on this side of the river, and we was going to ambush that sucker. And I got down there, Bill, and there he stood. Now, ladies, if you don't know, when he's out there with the pretty girls, he does what's called a strut. And that thing was in full fan. His wings are hitting the ground. And I thought, thank you, Lord. And I was going to shoot him right in the face. And I went crawling up through there. And I got behind a bunch of briars and some defense. One thing about a turkey, if they see you, they're gone. You think you're that smart one, you've lost your mind. And I eased up through there, thanking God already, rejoicing in my heart before it ever happened. I've been thinking about you this morning before this has ever even happened.
Sure. Go ahead.
If you're lost today, the wind was blowing and I saw that thing. And these fellows had real wings and a real fan on this turkey. And I saw the wind blow, and that turkey went like this and turned his head toward me. Guess what I done? Pow! And I fully expected that turkey to hit the ground and start flopping. You know what happened? I heard somebody go, whoa! You know what I done? I shot a decoy.
Oh, preacher! Oh, tell it, preacher!
What are you laughing about? Is that funny? Sure it is to everybody but me. You wouldn't believe the emotions that went through my mind. I got real mad. I got real embarrassed. I got real ashamed. And I couldn't change it. It's funny, ain't it? Unless it happens to you. So that's funny. And we can laugh that off. Glory. Boy, I got to thinking about this. But now, I'm going to tell you something. And I love Delmer. And we had a good hee-haw over that. And we've had a good hee-haw, me and you and Bobby, over Sumont. Brother Sumont. But let's say just for an instant that Delmer's up here and tripped over this stage, fell and broke his arm and the bone sticking out. And I hope that nobody in here would be doing just like the story I just told you. Ha, 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 ha. You know why? Because that's not funny. There's things that's funny and there's things that's not funny. And other people being in agony is not funny. Now just because you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, I tell you, it still ought to break our heart. It still ought to bother us that people's on the outside looking in. Amen. With no hope in this world. Glory. I mean, their heart is searching for answers this morning. They're in agony. I thought about this. You know, when Jesus was coming in and they made Simon of Cyrene carry his cross. You know what that company they said was doing that was with him? Much people and of the women, they said they bewailed him and lamented him.
That's right.
Why was they doing that? Because the agony that he was in. I hope this never gets numb to you, Donnie, and me. Have you ever really sat and thought about what Jesus done for you at Calvary?
Oh, preacher.
Have you ever thought about what Calvary entailed? The Bible said they spit on him. That's enough to stop me right there. I love you, and I try to be a decent fella, but you spit on me, we might have problems.
Sure.
I'm just carnal.
Sure.
Hey, they buffeted him. You know what that means?
Yep.
To hit with the palm of your hand. To strike. Now I'm talking about the King of Glory. This ain't just some common Joe, amen.
Right.
And they put the crown of thorns on his head. Hit him with a spear. But boy, that scourging, that cat of nine tails beat him beyond recognition. Some folks there that day, they wanted that to happen. Crucify Jesus! That was funny to them. That's not funny to me.
No, me either, brother. Thank God.
I don't think that's one bit funny.
Nope.
I'll tell you what that makes me. That makes me real grateful for what he did for me.
Yeah.
Hey, you say, preacher, I'm not laughing. I'm telling you, friend, that's just like Sarah on the inside. You may not be laughing outwardly, but I'll tell you, when folks reject God and seeing the agony that he bore for them, hey, I like that real good. He said, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. But he committed himself to him that judges righteously, who bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness. And by his stripes ye are healed. For we were all sheep going astray, but are now turn to the shepherd and bishop yourself. You listen to me. Hey, that ought to stir you on the inside. What Jesus did for you. Agony. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus my Lord suffered for me. Carried the cross all the way. My sins to atone.
Yes.
He suffered it. The just for the unjust.
That's right.
Being put to death in the flesh. Quickened by the Spirit. What a Savior, Brother Sexton.
Absolutely. Yes, sir, brother. Praise the Lord.
Hey. No life in matter. Other people being in agony, it's not funny. I'm going to tell you, your soul's important to me this morning. But even if it's not, that's heaven's goal this morning, is your soul. There's no life in matter working of conviction. Anybody in here ever been under conviction? I've thought about this, and I've never been in jail, thank God. I come close one time, but the sheriff, this has been years ago, the sheriff knows my mom and daddy let me go. Thank God for your father, right?
Thank God for your father having a good name. Yeah. You can say amen on me right there. I'd be in a lot of trouble now if my father didn't have a good name, glory to God. I'd get in a whole lot of trouble. But I've never been in jail, but I've seen these books. Mugs, you ever seen these mugshot books? I've seen them in these stores and stuff. Have you ever seen people's mugshots? You ever seen anybody posing for a mugshot? I mean, I'm telling you, that's folks' not so fine moments.
Right.
Them mugshot books. Unhappy. You know why they're that way? Because they've been caught red-handed.
That's right.
They got caught! And they got incarcerated! And it wasn't funny. They knew they'd have to pay the price for that. I thought about when Nathan the prophet pointed a finger. David said, "Thou the man."
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something, that wasn't funny. David done pronounced sentence on his own self. That's not funny. You know, you ever thought about that fellow there in Daniel? I'm talking about when the Lord passes by, points the finger at your sin,
yeah.
Shows you how good a Savior he is and how good a sinner you are. I'm talking about me. I ain't talking about nobody else in here but me. I had that really happen to me one day. God said, "You're a sinner," pointing me out. Loving me the whole time. I was caught red-handed. You know God's got your mugshot. He knows what you look like on the inside. You can fool me if you want to. I'm not trying to be ugly to you people, Kevin. I'm telling it right though today. God knows. He knows everything about you. He shines that light in your dark heart. I like this. Godly sorrow worketh what? Repentance unto salvation. Now, I believe this. If anybody ever gets born again, I believe the work and the conviction will have to get on them. I really believe that. And it hurts. Somebody tell you you're wrong, it hurts. But I thought about this fellow there in the book of Daniel. He was in a party society like we're in today.
Go ahead.
He desecrated the house of God. I wouldn't have rode to Jamestown with him. These people break the church. God loves them as much as anybody else.
Sure.
You just leave me out of it. I don't want to ride that bad. Because, man, it's a fearful thing. Hey, this stuff is serious.
Yeah.
Now, listen to me. He was doing fine, making some big promises. Talking big man talk. I've seen that a lot. I don't need that Jesus stuff. George Jefferson, I've seen men like that, women too. I don't need Jesus until.
That's right. That's right. Go ahead. Amen.
Until your ship is stuck where two seas met and the ship starts breaking. You can't swim and God says, get out. Then men start, their hearts start failing them. That's what conviction does. It causes your heart to fail. And God pointed the finger at that guy.
Amen.
You remember when God pointed the finger at you?
Yes.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, brother.
Did it make you feel good? No. Did not. And here's what the Bible said happened to that fella. I like this real good. He said his countenance changed. The stuff that was important to him just a few minutes ago wasn't so important.
Nope.
The Bible said his thoughts troubled him.
Yes.
His thoughts troubled him. Why? When God starts dealing with you, why would your thoughts trouble you? Because of carnality. Because God's got something that you don't have, that his light is greater than your darkness. Man, it just hurts. It hurts real bad. I like this. The Bible said the joints of his loins was loosed. Have you ever heard the old term knees knocking?
Oh, yeah.
The Bible said his knees smote together. I'm talking about the King.
There ain't anybody exempt from being born again. I'm going to tell you this morning, being lost without God, it's no life in matter. But I'll tell you what I could do. I could leave it right there and we'd go home miserable this morning. But you know what the Bible said about that? He said, His anger endureth but for a moment. Weeping, mate, I know the context of that. But he said, weeping. I believe that's what we do on the inside when God is dealing with us. Weeping may endure for a night, but it's going to get better.
That's right.
If you'll turn it over to Him, you'll give it to Him despite what you think, despite what you feel, despite all them external emotions and all that stuff that you've got going on, reasons and excuses why you can't trust God. I'm telling you, if you'll just turn it over to Him, joy will be there in the morning. Amen. The light will come shining in. And God will love you all the way in to the family of God. Joy cometh in the morning. Represents a new day. Being saved is a new day.
Right.
I'm not much of a preacher, but I think I'm right about that. Well, preacher, I'll just get saved at home. Maybe. You might. I'm not saying you can't. But let me give you this scenario. What makes you think that if God's dealing with you in a place like this, where the atmosphere is just wonderful, and there's 100 people here this morning that loves God and wanting to help you, and God Himself is dealing with your heart, holding back the forces of evil, bidding you to come, got you on the old-fashioned preaching of the gospel. What makes you think you get home that you're going to be strong enough to fight the devil off and say, oh yeah, I'm not telling you that you can't get saved anywhere God deals with you at. But what I'm telling you this morning, you're in a good place, and I'd take this invitation really seriously. I'd take it as a matter of heart this morning. If God was dealing with me, Spirit says, come. The bride says, but then the choice is the one that's thirsty. You know what, Kevin? You know what your pastor done? He gave me that during Sunday school. And I've already broke the seal on that. But you know whose choice that is? You know whose water this is now? It was his. But it ain't his. He probably wouldn't drink it because I've done drunk out of it. I give my grandson some yesterday about like that, been drunk out of a time or two. He said, Pa, are you sick? He didn't want it because I'd had it. But I'm going to tell you something. I've had it and you still need it, amen.
Amen.
Yeah! I've had me a drink of that too. You need to drink out of the same fountain. Amen. Kevin, give me that. And I can leave that right there. And I can set that right there. And somebody else will have to deal with that tonight. But I'll tell you what I can do. I'm about to burn up right now. I'm not as nimble as I used to be. Jimmy, my tongue was sticking the roof of my mouth a little bit. That one swallower's a word, ain't it? It is here, amen. That means you took it down on the inside and it started quenching you.
Right.
Yeah. That one drink made a good difference for me. I can preach 30 minutes more now if I need to. You know what? If you never just get it, amen, you get you one drink of that. Hey! I'll tell you, you'll never be the same. Glory. Go down to the fountain. Get washed in His blood. And you'll never, never be the same. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains. I'm telling you, there's no fountain like that precious fountain.
That's right. That's right.
And it'll quench.
Amen. Amen. I'll guarantee it will.
It'll quench that thirsty soul. No life in matter. Watching others in agony, working conviction. I want to finish with this. You listen to me. Waiting on a sentence. It's not funny. Why are you going to sentence? There's a fellow one time took my wife's uncle's life. This has been 20 years ago, 25 years ago now, maybe, I don't know, a long time ago. Took his life, done it on purpose. And Kevin, he got caught. Sure he did. And we went to the trial. Hard to sit through. But we went to the trial, Jimmy. And this fella, the whole time, he tried every way in the world to get out of it. He'd act crazy. He'd laugh. I watched him. I watched him for a week. We went every day. And he was doing his dead level best not to have to deal with what he'd done. This breaks my heart. But then there was a fella with one of these come in. And the bailiff said, "All rise." And that fellow went. Now, for some reason, I guess God wanted me to do that on purpose. I watched him. Now, I've been watching him the whole trial. But he knew this day was coming. I'm going to tell you of a day coming. The Bible said, "As it is appointed unto men." One time. Die. That's carnal. But after this, the judgment. There is two deaths. Preacher, you ought not to be so serious. You ought not to be so lost either. No reason for that. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just wanting to help you this morning. And that judge dropped the gavel, dropped the hammer. And everybody in that courtroom went deathly silent. And he pointed his finger at that guy and he said, "Mr. So-and-so, you get up. You stand up." In other words, it's you, me and you. He wasn't dealing with the lawyers. All that stuff. All your chance of an advocate was gone.
Right.
We have an advocate with the Father.
Thank God.
Jesus Christ, He'll stand in your place this morning.
Amen.
Have an advocate. But the advocate was gone. Nobody there. The judge and the guilty. None of the law. That's where everybody was at. But every mouth may be stopped. A man might become guilty. Before who? Before God. But this day, that fellow was standing there. No excuses. All the proof. All the evidence. Here's what the judge said. I'll never forget it. I was watching him. He's rocking back and forth. He'd look over at his lawyer and laugh. All that was gone. He pointed his finger at him and he said, "You did this on purpose. You took this man's life on purpose, and you will pay for that." He gave him consecutive sentences. He'll never see another free day until he leaves this world. And I've never seen anybody change that much. He just went emotionless and lifeless. I mean, how could you expect anything different? How could he have expected anything different to happen?
Right.
I'm going to tell you something this morning. You stand before God. How can you expect a holy God to do anything different than what he told you he was going to do?
That's right.
He's going to judge the world in righteousness.
Absolutely.
I love you this morning. And I'll tell you what that'll never be. To me, Joe, it's not funny. It's just not funny. It's not a life and matter. It's not just affecting you, it's affecting everybody around you. Now I feel like this morning that I've preached what God wanted me to preach. I know there have been 12 saved here this week. Man, that ought to bring some joy. That ought to make you happy. But that one that's here today, it's not funny. I mean, we can have some joy here in a minute. But right now, it's a real serious matter. And you know the only one that can change that besides Jesus? You. Jimmy, the Lord's already done his part.
He went to Calvary and said, it's finished. Father, forgive them. My God, my God. Hey! He did everything he could to keep sinners out of hell. You ever wonder why that place is enlarging daily? And I'm just speculating here. You've got to be careful about speculating about the scriptures, because you could be wrong. Most of the time you are when you start that. But I can just imagine a place that wasn't, that they wasn't a backhoe went down there and just dug out a big spot. It's a spiritual place. And it's tied in there. And you wasn't meant to go there, and there's a place prepared. Everybody that goes there, it's going to be in a, I'm telling you, it's just a tight, I believe it's going to be tight quarters in hell. Just one at a time, and it just keeps wedging its way out. There won't be no pain, no ease from the pain. Oh, I had a preacher tell me this one time. He said, Greg, he said, I don't think that hell preaching is good enough reason to get saved. Preacher told me that. I was just a young boy preacher. And I said, I'm going to tell you something. Well, I didn't say it that way. I said, sir, the only thing I know to tell you is it was good enough for me.
Right.
The Lord come and dealt with my heart. The Bible said, if some have compassion, make a difference. Others saved with fear, pull them out of the fire. It matters. It's not funny. That's not funny. The only one that has the right to obtain what God's offering is you. Your wife can't do it for you. Your husband can't do it for you. Your mama, your daddy. Hey, this ain't the first time I've seen God do this. I know it's serious in here this morning. I knew it would be. But man, there ain't nothing like when you just say, you know what? If I can get it in my pocket. You know what? Does anybody know what that means? I'll tell you what that'll do. That'll work in Japan. That'll work in Russia. That'll work in the good old USA. Surrender, it's a universal language. That's all the Lord wants to hear. I surrender all. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to be this or that. But you do have to be to the point you recognize him. And when you get there, preacher, do I have to go to the altar to be saved? No, but you need to be willing to. Buddy, when I got lost, it wasn't hard for me to get saved. I'm done this morning. It'd be all right if my wife come, Kevin. Would that be okay? Jeff, I want you to come play my song this morning. It's my favorite gospel song. We'll just let everybody just sit still just for a minute. I'm not trying to put on a show or give you no drama. But I'm telling you, when there is no answer, Jesus is the answer. I hope you can watch this morning and see. I hope it's been played in your mind what he went through for you. Working of conviction. I'm telling you, God is able to get down and break through that crust that nobody else can get into. Point the finger and say, come, you need this. But if you don't, there'll be a day come. You know what you are? Josh said it this morning. I thought Josh was going to preach my message. Just sure. We're walking dead people without Christ. And we're dead walking people with Christ. You get that about Tuesday. Dead. I was dead to sin. Now I'm dead in sin. Amen. Dead to sin. Now I was dead in sin. You know what I mean.
Yes, sir.
Been made alive through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Ain't that a good sound in church? That's where they need to be.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what a lost person's heart sounds like.
That's right.
It's crying out, weeping. Amen. Weeping. Weeping, not funny. Serious. I know it's hard to deal with. You know when she'll quit? Somebody satisfies her. It's a boy or a girl, I don't know what it was. I'm sorry if I got it wrong. They'll cry out if somebody satisfies them one way or the other. You know what you're going to keep doing? You're just going to keep crying until you get satisfied, until you let the Lord say, it'll never get better.
Right.
You can own the whole world.
Yep.
It'll never get better.
Right.
That's good preaching.
Christian friends, I want to ask you this morning, what's our attitude toward others being in agony? Maybe you got somebody on your heart this morning and you're watching them. They just can't get no help. They won't accept help. Maybe you just need to come pray for them. I'm not trying to make you. But there may be somebody here today. That this has just become not so funny to you anymore. And you're just tired of dealing with it. Well, you get this took care of today. Not only they don't have to go home the way they come. Ain't that good, Jimmy? It's just wonderful. I'd rather be saved as on 10 Walmarts. I would. But I can't do it for you. Rick, people have to make their own mind up. I had to make my mind up. There'll come a time you'll have to make your mind up. What about today? Let's all stand this morning. Let's folks pray, and I'll tell you something, they may be praying for you. Not a life in matter. You know, take your sin real serious this morning. And just let God, just come. Don't try to rationalize it. Don't try to reduce it to something that it's not. If the Lord has convicted your heart, you ought to come this morning. Step out, make that effort. I'll tell you what God will do. He'll richly save you. You'll never be the same. What about you? If God's dealing with you, why don't you come?